Good day, and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. The Republican primary election race for governor started out pretty rough. The leading candidates at the time, former Detroit Police Chief James Craig and businessman Perry Johnson, both got mired in a signature fraud scandal that derailed their official campaigns. Now there are a slate of new candidates who are making waves in the race. One of them was jailed for participating in the January 6th insurrection, and several others have absolutely embraced the controversial politics of former President Donald Trump. The new candidates in debates are hitting the pavement, and they are Ryan Kelly and Tudor Dixon, Ralph Rebrandt, Kevin Rinke, and Garrett Saldano. All of them have this real challenge of trying to kind of separate themselves from the pack among Republican voters. And that's really difficult right now, given the influence that Donald Trump still has on GOP politics. Do you embrace him fully to maybe get his endorsement and possibly win the primary election with his supporters and then risk the backlash that you might face in the general? Or do you try to distance yourself from those politics and risk Republican voters not being excited enough to vote for you next Tuesday on August 2nd. To talk about all of this, how the candidates are doing, who's in the lead, and the chances that any of them might unseat Governor Gretchen Whitmer in the fall, is Jonathan Osting. He is a political reporter who covers the Capitol for Bridge, Michigan. Jonathan Osting, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Hey, good morning, Stephen. Thank you for having me.
So this is one of the more interesting races coming up to August 2nd. Let's talk a little about the shape of this race. And again, this question about the influence of the former president on at least the campaigns themselves. It seems to me that the key question for most of these candidates has been about the 2020 election. It's kind of a litmus test in this race. Either you believe that Donald Trump won that election and can get applause from some Republican voters because of it, or you're willing to say, hey, he actually lost, and then you're risking a backlash from those same Republican voters. Talk about what the dynamics look like in this race with less than a week to go.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting. Kevin Rinke, he's a Bloomfield Township businessman. He is the only candidate left in this field who is not completely convinced, or at least says he's not completely convinced, that Trump actually won Michigan in 2020. So the other four candidates have all said they think that the former president won here, even though he lost by 154,188 votes officially. So Rinke, however, has really tried to still court Trump voters and even court Trump himself. So he, although he stands out on that one position front, he's ran television ads suggesting that dead people always vote for Democrats, so sort of playing on the conspiracy theories still about the 2020 election. And he's run ads more explicitly comparing himself to Trump as an outsider businessman who can, do the equivalent of making America great again in Michigan. He's also spent a lot of money attacking Tudor Dixon, because she's backed by Betsy DeVos. Betsy DeVos, of course, worked in the Trump administration as the U.S. Education Secretary, but she resigned after the January 6th insurrection and has more recently publicly acknowledged that she and other cabinet members discussed invoking the 25th Amendment to try and remove Trump from office after the insurrection. So Rinke is essentially trying to have it both ways, even though he's the only candidate who says he's not convinced the election was rigged. So, I mean, that just goes to show you, even the one candidate that has distanced himself from those claims is still clearly trying to court voters who believe those conspiracy theories about the 2020 election.
Hmm. Let's talk about the field here and who's in it and who's not. As I said in the open, James Craig and Perry Johnson seemed a bit ago like the heavies in this field, that they would be the candidates to beat. Of course, neither of them was able to make the official ballot because of this signature fraud scandal. Talk a little about the range, I guess, of candidates in this field, and the issues other than Donald Trump that they're using to try to attract voters.
Sure. Well, I think it's pretty interesting how the field shook out once, you know, as you mentioned, James Craig, Perry Johnson, and a couple other candidates, too, were removed from the ballot. It left us with sort of, you know, two real hardcore grassroots candidates in Garrett Saldano and Ryan Kelly, who have sort of been competing for the same voter base this entire primary. You know, they both rose to fame protesting the governor's pandemic policies. And of course, Ryan Kelly was arrested recently for his participation in protests outside the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. And then you were left with Kevin Rinke, who's a businessman who's, you know, arguably the most similar to a traditional Republican in this race. You know, I mean, he is probably far to the right of where Rick Snyder was 8 years ago, but he's the closest thing to a traditional Republican left in the race. But then Tudor Dixon, who started out really focusing on the MAGA crowd and trying to compete for those same grassroots voters, has since, you know, Craig and Johnson were removed from the race, really been embraced by the establishment Republicans, the DeVoses of the world, the big money donor class, the Michigan Chamber, groups like that, Right to Life of Michigan. So you're left with these sort of two somewhat more establishment lane candidates, two grassroots candidates, and then Ralph Rebant, who is, you know, not polling particularly well, but has said he's, you know, the only candidate trying to take the church lane. He's a retired pastor, and he's spent a lot of time trying to court religious voters. Hasn't been super successful as of yet. But, yeah, those dynamics have proved really interesting. I mean, as far as issues, you know, the 2020 election is an issue, but really for a lot of these candidates, culture war issues have come to the forefront. Tudor Dixon, as I mentioned, she's led in polls of the races. She's spent a lot of time talking about, you know, so-called indoctrination in public schools and how she wants to fight that. She's joined lawmakers at the Capitol for introduction of a bill that would prohibit public schools from sponsoring drag shows for students, which lawmakers admitted they have no evidence has ever happened in a public school in Michigan. But those sort of issues, you know, sort of the red meat for the Republican base, have really come to the forefront in this race. And, you know, Republicans seem to be really interested in running on those sort of issues nationwide. We saw in Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, the current governor now, won election in part by really focusing on, you know, what he called critical race theory, or really just the way that race and history is taught in public schools, and that was successful for him. So you're seeing Republicans across the country, and definitely here in Michigan, sort of try and replicate that by focusing on, you know, parental rights and things like that in schools.
Mm. So we've got a couple of cuts from a recent debate that the Republican candidates for governor had that I think highlight some of the issues that you were just talking about that they're really focusing on. Our first one is Garrett Saldano talking about critical race theory.
CRT is being taught in these schools. I don't care what they say. And we all know that CRT is a fundamental racist belief system fueled in the faulty ideas of Marxism. Along with CRT, they're also teaching gender and sexual theory, which is quite comical because you can't talk about sexuality in the workplace because that's sexual harassment. But they're saying that it's deemed essential to these kids.
Okay, that was Garrett Saldano talking about critical race theory and what he thinks is going on in terms of gender discussion and what he would call, I guess, indoctrination in schools. We also have a clip from Ryan Kelly, who is a candidate who was arrested recently for his involvement in the January 6th insurrection, but is still a candidate in the race.
We have to understand that assault is an action and it's not an object. So to say that these are assault weapons, they just sit there unless somebody else assaults someone with them. So we need to get away with these baseless claims of these being assault weapons first and foremost.
Okay, that was Ryan Kelly, a gubernatorial candidate on the Republican side, talking about assault weapons at a recent debate among the Republican hopefuls. This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson. My guest is Jonathan Oesting, an award-winning Michigan political reporter who covers the Capitol for Bridge Michigan. He wrote a piece this week titled, James Craig Seeks to Stay in Michigan Governor Race, Says Campaign Was Defrauded. Jonathan has been covering the Republican field of candidates for governor pretty closely. We want to hear from you during the conversation as well. Are you planning to vote in next Tuesday's August 2nd Republican primary for governor? Are you looking at these candidates and finding somebody who really appeals to your sensibilities or to your points of view? What is it about the candidate that you've chosen that you decide is the thing that will make you cast a ballot for them? Also, give us a sense of what you think of James Craig and Perry Johnson being disqualified from the official ballot, at least, because of the signature fraud scandal that enveloped both of their campaigns. As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the WDET. Don't go to the WDET Facebook page anymore. Just go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work you into the conversation that way. Jonathan, I'm going to put you under a little bit of pressure here. Tell me who you feel has the advantage in this field as of right now. I know a lot could happen over the weekend. We could hear from President Donald Trump, I suppose, about who his favorite is in the race. And I think that would have a lot of influence over some voters. But who appears to have control, I guess, of the race at this point?
Well, I'm not trying to be evasive, Stephen, but I really don't know. I mean, I think the four candidates, you know, Kelly, Saldano, Dixon, and Rinke, all legitimately have a path to victory. I mean, we know that, you know, in some recent polling, almost 40% of voters were still undecided. So what we know from the polls isn't all that convincing because so many likely voters still hadn't made up their mind and could go in a lot of directions. Now, traditionally, you know, big spending on television in the final week of the race is a way to reach a lot of those undecided voters. And certainly Kevin Rinke and Tudor Dixon have the advantage there. Both their campaigns have more money, or in the case of Dixon, she has super PACs that are raising and spending a lot of money on her behalf. So they're going to be able to get their message out more widely. At the same time, the Democratic Governors Association just launched an ad specifically targeting Dixon, an attack ad criticizing her. So they clearly are trying to knock her down a peg. Mm-hmm. Arguably, that suggests they think she's the most formidable challenger to Gretchen Whitmer in the fall. So she's the only candidate at this point they're running ads attacking. So that could sort of counteract some of her last-minute spending in this race. So, I mean, you know, I said in 2016, after 2016, sorry, that I would never get in the business of predicting the outcomes of elections after, you know, Trump scored a surprising victory over Hillary Clinton after trailing in the polls here in Michigan. So I'm certainly not going to change that stance here in 2022 when we really do have a pretty clear toss up at this point.
Yeah. What about the prospect of a Trump endorsement? I would imagine that some of the candidates are trying to solicit that kind of support. Is it something that's likely to happen? Is it or is he maybe going to even stay out of this?
Well, I think it's increasingly likely that he's going to stay out of it. But, of course, we know the former president is very mercurial and can change his mind and decide to, take his own course of action pretty quickly. I mean, we know when he endorsed Bill Schuette in 2018, the Schuette campaign even had no idea that was coming. And, in fact, Trump misspelled his name in a tweet. So he doesn't have access to Twitter anymore, of course. So he might have to be a little bit more deliberate with this. But he did put out a statement this week touting his endorsement record in other states and noting that people in Michigan are still asking him to endorse, but he has not done so. Notably, several candidates, most locally Garrett Saldano, who was himself, through surrogates courting a Trump endorsement, has now publicly pleaded with Trump really to stay out of the race at this point. And let the voters decide. So I think, with just, a number of days left before the primary, that's the most likely scenario here is that Trump does not endorse in this race. But anything could happen with Trump.
Yeah, yeah. I also wonder if there is a difference in support according to geography. This is a big state, of course. The candidates in this race come from many different parts of the state. Is that one of the things that that seems to be lining up support for people or not? Or is this really just about, the range of the candidate's stances on issues?
Certainly we've seen some of the more grassroots candidates like Garrett Saldano and somewhat Ryan Kelly are polling better in sort of what you call outstate areas, so not Metro Detroit, the rest of the state, the wide rural swaths across the state that are traditionally deep red. Tudor Dixon has polled fairly well in the Metro Detroit area where, the Republicans, there might be more of the so-called traditional Republicans still participating in the GOP primary. And, and a lot of it, too, depends on where candidates like Rinke and Dixon, who have money, have been going up on television, mm-hmm. We've seen that, Dixon, her campaign, or Super PAC, sorry, supporting her, has run a lot of ads in the Metro Detroit area. And then you see, she's doing fairly well there. So, there's definitely geographic areas. I mean, that obviously will be much, much more pronounced in the general election than it is right now in the primary.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to get to some listeners and again, encourage folks. I know we've got Republican listeners here at Detroit Today. Really want to hear from you about what you think about this field, how you're making your choices. I think it's important to have that discussion and talk about the things that are going on inside that party. 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Let's start with Brad in Rochester Hills. Brad.
Hey, Steve, it's great to be with you today. Uh-huh. I am voting for Kevin Rinke in this coming Tuesday's August primary on the Republican ticket. And I'm well pleased of what he's accomplished as a businessman. He has possible connections, if I'm right, with the Rinke Automotive Group that serves several GM dealerships in the Warren and Centerline area. And he might be any relation to one of the Rinkes I was in. I was business partners with, at least on a cross line section. He was part of the same line when I had my own Amway business as an independent business owner back in the 90s. And I'm also excited that he's taking a stand for his conservative, traditional Republican values that need to be restored not only in Michigan but also in this country.
Brad, I'm glad you called and shared how you're planning to vote and why. I wonder if you can talk just a little about how you're making sense of how the candidates respond to former President Donald Trump and how they interpret what happened in the 2020 election and what happened on January 6th of 2021 when a lot of people tried to derail the process of certifying that election. Are you comfortable, with the way Kevin Rinke describes those events? And is that one of the reasons that you've chosen him over some of the others?
Well, I may not be fond of how he handles what happened to the November 2020 election, even though I personally believe that the election was rigged, which caused President Biden to get elected by mistake, which was a grave mistake, and it really caught a lot of our caught a lot of my fellow Trump supporters off guard. Even though the other candidates like Tudor Dixon and Garrett O'Donnell would believe it that the election was rigged.
So Brad, I'm sorry, you believe that the election was rigged, or you believe it was not?
It was. Wasn't what I was turning out to be, because I supported Trump not only in the general election in 2016, which he won, but also in November 2020, when he had the potential to go for a second run. Mm-hmm. And it turned out it was a sheer loss, as well as a savage blow.
Yeah. Yeah. Brad, I really appreciate you calling and sharing your thinking about this. Jonathan, we've got about a minute and a half left before we need to take a break, but respond to what Brad's saying. I think I hear a lot of what he's saying echoing in other conversations that I'm having with Republicans who are looking at this field.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting perspective, certainly for voters who do believe Trump's claims about the 2020 election and are looking at the field. They have to decide if that's the most important issue to them. I mean, in the case of Kevin Rinke, as the caller said, as Brad said, Rinke has really touted his business acumen. You know, he did take over his family's Rinke automotive chain and then sold it to Roger Penske. He then, went into some other businesses and was quite successful and has a lot of money. So even though he hasn't, fully backed Trump's claims about the 2020 election, he's certainly, positioned himself as a Trump-like figure who can come in and knows how government works more than some of the other candidates. It's important to remember, none of the five have any experience in elected office, but Rinke says his business experience means he's had to work with Lansing. He's had to advocate for policy reforms. He knows how the system works. So those are similar claims that Trump made, when he said, asked about donating to Democrats in the past, Trump said, well, that's how you play the game. And Rinke has said the same thing, not about Democrats, but about donations to Mitt Romney that he made in 2012, for instance. So he's certainly, running in that businessman lane, mm-hmm. somewhat similar to Rick Snyder, but without the friendly nerd persona
right,
to go along
right.
with it.
Yeah. Okay, Jonathan Osteen, political reporter for Bridge Michigan. Always great to talk to you. Thanks for coming on to talk about the Republican field in the gubernatorial race next Tuesday.
Absolutely. Thanks, Stephen.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about Wayne County outside the city of Detroit, how the new legislative lines and congressional lines affect people there, and what we expect on August 2nd. Stay with us for more Detroit Today.